Our study continues in the 6th chapter of Genesis. We are ready to begin in the 22nd verse. But first of all, let's go back and read verses 19, 20, and 21, because here are the instructions that God gives to Noah. He says, "And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." So Noah had a big job to do. He'd been working on this ark for some 100 years now, and he'd been a preacher of righteousness all this time. He'd raised these sons and their families to know the truth. So verse 22 says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Now, this is a wonderful statement about Noah. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Noah was a man of strong faith in God's word. But faith without works is dead, we know. So Noah also had absolute obedience to that word. The commands given to Noah required him to do some monumental jobs, extremely difficult and discouraging, and yet Noah never questioned or complained. He simply obeyed. Noah could have very easily gotten discouraged. He could have very easily begun to question just why is all this required to be done here. He couldn't see any real need for it, as no other person could. But the faith said, "Yes, Noah, this needs to be done." The last verse of the 6th chapter, verse 22, simply summarizes in a very clear manner a whole century of God's long-suffering while Noah preached righteousness to those who were disobedient while the ark was preparing, according to 1 Peter 3:20, 2 Peter 2:6, and Luke 17:26 and 27. And not only in this verse, but three times more are we told that Noah did all that God commanded him, Genesis 7:5, 9, and 16. Noah was probably not a giant physically, but he was one spiritually. Noah was indeed a giant in the earth in those days, and the world has possibly never seen his equal since. Because Noah walked with God and was obedient to his faith in God's word, God had a close and marvelous fellowship with Noah. There are 7 recorded occasions in which it is said that God spoke to Noah. Genesis 6:13, 7:1, 8:15, 9:1, 8, 12, and 17. And each time they were fellowship and blessing to Noah and his family. In contrast, in Psalm 29, which deals with the great flood, 7 times the voice of the Lord thunders forth in majesty and judgment before a world that had rejected him. Psalm 29, verses 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, and 9. These are very likely a type of the 7 thunders and their voices, which, though uttered in future judgment, are not to be revealed in detail until that future time comes, Revelation 10, 3 through 4. Now let's take a look at the physical world before the great flood. We've shown that the spiritual life of humankind had fallen to very low and deplorable states in the world before the flood. The world was destroyed by the great flood to wipe out this state of spiritual depravity on the part of man. But this great flood also destroyed the physical, natural world which existed then, and the physical world has never been the same. Let us look briefly at the physical characteristics of the world before the flood. What a marvelous world this must have been. Even in our imagination, we are not able to reconstruct for ourselves a picture of the world which God had given as a possession to Adam and his descendants. The world of Adam, Methuselah, Enoch, and Noah was a wondrous world. A world rich in plant and animal life, much more than we have today. A world which yielded fruit of every kind for man and beast without any kind of effort on the part of either. A world which could therefore support a population many times greater than our present population. A world which was made delightful by a uniform climate of spring-like loveliness, like that of paradise itself. The climate was an ideal climate which prevailed continuously over the whole globe. In short, the whole world was a garden of God, compared with the world which followed. This was the golden age in the history of the earth. It was a creation of God's love, created for the enjoyment of Him who was created in His own image and made to rule over it and possess it. Yet it was that world which was destroyed by the flood. God himself destroyed it because of man's rejection of God. Our world today is but a shadow of that which was. Our God is a God of love, of tender mercies and long-suffering, to them that fear and love him and do according to his commandments. But he's a terrible judge to those that reject his mercy. If he spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, and if he spared not this magnificent world of his own creation, how will the ungodly and the wicked of today escape his wrath when the day of judgment shall dawn upon this second world? In Genesis chapter 7 and 8, we have the story of the great flood. And before we talk about the flood, let's look briefly at the last days of the old world. God had spoken to Noah nearly 100 years earlier, giving instructions concerning the ark and the animals, and assuring him that the flood would come on schedule. We have no record of any further word from heaven, but Noah had continued without hesitation and faithfully with his strange work and ministry, obeying God's commands without question. With all the persuasion at his command, he preached the coming judgment, but to no avail as far as converts were concerned. Finally, the ark was completed, and all the animals were assembling. The 120 years would be up in a few days, and his grandfather Methuselah, who had served the Lord longer than any man who had ever lived, was about to die. Then it was, after a century of no recorded message from God, that God spake to Noah once again. Noah had faithfully followed God's commands. Noah had prepared an ark to the saving of his house, according to Hebrews 11, verse 7. So as we begin the seventh chapter of Genesis, verse 1 says, And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark,